Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 9, after we ask God to bless our reading and proclamation of His Word. Let's pray. Holy God, in an unholy world of darkness, where all we can see sometimes is war and death and loss and pain because of us, shine through the darkness, we pray, and help us see more clearly what you want us to see. Help us see you. And by seeing you, help us see ourselves as we really are. Use your word to do that, we pray. Through Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, child of God, what do you hope as a Christian that you will see more clearly in the year 2020? What do you hope to see more of, or to see more clearly in your life, in the life of your family or your friends, the life of our church, and in the world? Now, originally I thought that a sermon titled 2020 Vision was pretty clever for a sermon near the beginning of the year 2020. But then I learned that 2020 vision is the ability to see clearly only what the average person can see from an eye chart from 20 feet away. 2020 vision is not perfect vision. It isn't even excellent vision. But it is average vision. Above average vision would be something like 2015 vision, which means that a person can see a line on an eye chart at 20 feet, but the average person can see from only 15 feet away. So you have to, if you have better vision, you can stand further away to see what the average person has to move up closer to see. So 2020 vision is really just average. And if you have 20/30 vision, it means that your vision is worse than average. It means that when you are standing 20 feet away from an eye chart, you can read letters that most people can read from 30 feet away. Now, when it comes to the things of God, we don't want inferior vision. But even average vision is not what we're aiming for, I hope. Don't we want more than just average? Don't we want to see more clearly what God is up to so we can join his work and celebrate his greatness and his goodness? Even more importantly, don't we want to see God himself more clearly? As Isaiah saw the Lord, as described in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord. Not just wonderful ministries in the church or in the world, as great as those might be, and not just wonderful people, as beautiful as they might be, but I saw the Lord high and exalted. So high and exalted that the train of his royal robe filled the entire temple. Now, historically, when you were in the presence of royalty, the size of the tail of the king or queen's robe that trailed behind them as they walked in to be anointed and crowned, that indicated the greatness of their royalty. It's been a long time, but still the most recent time I've ever seen that is with Princess Diana, already long ago, and she wasn't even the queen. You know how long that robe was on her wedding gown. When you're royalty, you get this great big train. That's a sign, and the longer the train, the greater your royalty. The train of his robe filled the temple. Now, keep in mind that the temple for God is not just a building like this. The temple of the Lord is the world. I saw the Lord. And his royal majesty was so great in this vision that he gave me that it filled the entire temple of the world. Not just a vision of God in a church building, but a vision of his holiness everywhere. His presence, most specifically, his holy presence, everywhere. It's true that I hope we see other great things this year as God's people. I hope great things for our families, for our church, for you personally, especially some of you who are going through some very difficult times. I hope that this year helps you get past or through some of those tough times. I hope great things for us that go way beyond merely 2020 vision, beyond merely average. I want to see a renewed Christian Against Poverty ministry that leads many out of poverty and also into a saving, restored, renewed relationship with Jesus as their Savior. I hope we can show a lot of justice and mercy to the poor and to the immigrant, or those wanting to be immigrants, the refugee. I hope we can do great outreach to lead new Christians into God's kingdom. I want to see our youth and our young adult ministries grow and thrive, and our numbers of younger people grow at Crosspoint. I hope we can give great pastoral care to all the people connected to Crosspoint. I hope we get so excited about what God is doing in this congregation and through this congregation that we're so excited enough to give financially, so that our God will meet every financial need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Just a few of the great things I hope to see in the year of our Lord 2020. But there is still something greater, something much bigger, much better, something so great and big it's worth sacrificing for. It's worth my time, my money, my energy, my all. What I am after is nothing less than a fresh, clear vision of God. Something like what Isaiah saw. More to the point, it's a vision that God Himself wants to give us of Himself and then of ourselves in relationship to Him. You see, John Calvin said in his great big Institutes of the Christian Religion, two book summary, he summed it all up this way. He said, the main point of true Christian religion is a greater vision and knowledge of God, and secondly, a greater knowledge and vision of ourselves in relationship to this great God. The two go hand in hand. And as we look deeper into this vision that God gave Isaiah, we can see several areas where God wants to magnify our vision of ourselves, but mainly and mostly of Himself. So first of all, notice in verses 1 through 4, how God wants to magnify, how God wants to increase our vision of His holiness. Everything in these verses points to God's great holiness. In the year that King Uzziah died, as one of the more righteous kings of Israel, and thus his death left a crisis of holiness in the nation of Israel, a crisis that would become so great, a crisis of unholiness that would become so great that it would lead to the entire exile of God's people. And that was part of Isaiah's prophetic task, to proclaim that your unholiness is going to lead to your exile because of your unholy leaders, which has led to unholy people. In the midst of this crisis of holiness, in the leadership of God's people, Isaiah received a vision in which he saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted. Other leaders may be unholy in Israel, but the Lord our God is holy. And I want you to see that, Isaiah. I want you to be reminded of that, Isaiah, and pass it on to my people. Now, no one can literally see God and live. God made that clear to His servant Moses in Exodus 33. But God gave enough of a glimpse of Himself to Isaiah in a way that he could understand in a vision to greatly enlarge his appreciation of the great holiness of God. All He gave Isaiah was a glimpse of the foot of His throne and a glimpse of the hem of His robe. And that was enough to fill Isaiah with terror and awe at God's great holiness. Just like in Exodus 24, when Moses and the 70 elders are said to have seen God, all they can do is describe the blue color of the pavement beneath His feet. They didn't really truly see the complete God as He is. They saw the pavement on His feet, so to speak. There's a barrier to fully seeing God as He really is, in all His perfect holiness. There's a barrier that we sinful mortals simply cannot cross. Even those mysteriously holy seraphs, some kind of angels, who have no sin in them, cannot look at God, but they must cover their faces with their wings. And they must cover their bodies with their wings. One Jewish translator calls their feet their body. Or if it is properly translated feet, it represents the whole body. That cannot be displayed in the awesome presence of God. And so, like a rock star groupie or a movie star fan who merely sees the backside of their favorite star and yet goes crazy, I saw his back. Isaiah sees only the hem of God's robe. And that was only a vision. Because God is spirit and He has no robe. But God gives Isaiah enough of a glimpse of himself and of his greatness to fill him with awe-filled terror. And he also feels the power of God's holiness. As dozens or hundreds or thousands, we don't know how many seraphs are crying, "Holy! Holy! Holy!" And you've got to almost feel it like this, "Holy! Holy!" It's shaking. The whole place is shaking. Beloved in the Lord, it is God's desire to magnify our understanding of his great holiness, to give us greater vision, greater clarity of his awesomeness. Now, truthfully, the reality, it's his desire that we would also see more clearly our great sinfulness. When Isaiah saw God's holiness, he immediately understood the terrible reality of his own sinfulness. When we truly see God as he really is, holy, perfect, righteous, not as we want to see him, but as he really is, then we will also understand ourselves as we really are. Unholy, self-deceiving, sinful. When we see nations at war, or the tensions between nations that we are afraid will lead to war, when we see fear and misaimed missiles that shoot down civilian planes, just to name a couple of things in this week's news, we are reminded again of our great sinfulness as the human race. In fact, the closer we get to God, the more clearly we see him through our reading of Scripture, the eyeglasses by which we see him more clearly. It's not new to you, probably. It was already the reformers who said, "This is this. Without this, there's no sight, no vision." The closer we, through this, see him, the more we truly worship him and find ourselves in the presence of his holiness through worship. And the more we try to live holy lives for him, the more we come to see how far short we fall from his great holiness. It's an interesting irony that the most holy Christians in this world are the ones who are the most likely to see themselves as unholy. The most unholy people in the world are the ones who think they're pretty good stuff. But when we see ourselves as we really are, it bothers us. It worries us. And it makes us cry for mercy. It's like a huge mirror with a big light on it. When we stand far enough away from the mirror, why, I look pretty good. Nice suit, pretty good tie. The hair, what little I have of it, is nicely in place. But then I take some steps closer to the mirror with that light shining on it. Oh, there's a spot there. It's not straight. Oh, I'm getting edge spots up there. It's not looking so good. The closer we get to the bright light of God, the more we see our own defects. That's the way it is when we get closer to God. We realize more and more just how far we are from his perfection and how much we need his mercy. God, you have to show mercy. In short, we are convicted of our sin. But thanks be to God for his even greater mercy. Woe to me, cried Isaiah. I am ruined, literally in the Hebrew. I'm destroyed. Or cut off with no hope of salvation. Notice how Isaiah doesn't even think to ask for mercy or vow to obey God. If only you show mercy to me, God, I'll be good from now on. He doesn't even try any of that stuff. He simply assumes that he's going to be destroyed. For he has seen the King, the Lord God Almighty, and he's unclean. He's sullied God's holiness. But God is big with mercy. As he flies, quickly, get to Isaiah with the burning coal from the altar of my sacrifice and assure him he is forgiven. As much as God wants us to see more clearly the greatness of our sin and to honestly face it, that we are big sinners, especially when compared to God's great holiness, even greater still, God wants us to see and experience the fullness of his forgiveness and his cleansing through his sacrifice. And we know who that sacrifice is. Paul writes in Romans, where sin increased through knowledge of God's holy law, or in Isaiah's case, through knowledge of God's own holiness, though God and his holy laws cannot be separated, but where knowledge of our sin increased, grace increased all the more, writes Paul, so that grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As big and clear as our realization may be that we are guilty sinners, even bigger still is God's great mercy through Jesus. Yes, our sin is big. You know, the temptation for us, because we're actually pretty good people, we think. We're not like so-and-so and so. The temptation, because we think we're not that bad, really, but then let's be reminded that our sin must be big. It is big enough and it is strong enough to have nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. If we think our sin is not a big deal, it nailed him to the cross. But it's still not bigger than God, and it can never be bigger than his mercy and his grace. As far as the east is from the west. In other words, infinitely far, because east and west never meet. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. We can never out-sin God and his great grace. We can never out-sin the grace of God. Never ever worry that God's great holiness is bigger than his grace. In fact, it is God's holiness that enables him to give us his grace. See, some people make the dichotomy. They make the difference. God, I want a holy God. And they become self-righteous and legalistic. No, I want the God of grace. He looks the other way. Everything's okay. He forgives everything without any... They're not opposites. They're the same. It's only his holy, perfect sacrifice that gives us his grace. There's no need to separate holiness from grace. As long as we understand that the greatness of our sin and our urgent need for God's great mercy, as long as we understand that, then we never need to fear God's holiness in the sense of terrified. In fact, what God's holiness will do is make us want to share His holiness. It will make us say to God, set me apart. That's what holiness is, being set apart. Send me, God, for your great mission. After growing in our vision of God's great mercy, God wants us to grow in our vision of His great mission and our mission to the world. After cleansing from our sin, God says, whom shall I send? So that others might see of my great holiness. Who can I send to tell people and explain to people and share with them how holy I am? And how great is my grace? Here I am, Lord. Send me to share this knowledge with the world, says Isaiah. God loves His people. God loves the world. And He wants them to know Him. So He's looking for people to share His great mission. Isaiah's encounter with God led him to declare His availability and His commitment to reach out to others that they might see God's great holiness and His great love. Never mind that the mission would be a difficult one. Never mind that so many would still remain blind to God's great holiness. Isaiah had a mission to share his vision of God, to join the seraphs' voices in declaring God's holiness. Oh, that we might have great big praise for the holiness of God and for the grace He has given each of us through Jesus, and a vision for His calling on our lives, for His mission. How are you growing in your vision of the beauty and the holiness of God? He who has seen me, said Jesus, has seen the Father. Sir, said some people who had not yet been introduced to Jesus. Sir, some people said to Jesus' disciples, we want to see Jesus. What's keeping you from seeing Him more clearly? Maybe lack of time spent in God's Word. Maybe lack of prayer. That God would be opening your eyes to see more of Him in everything, including His holiness. Is it possible there is some unconfessed sin in your life that God needs to deal with, that He needs to bring the burning coal to clean up your mouth, clean up your life? Or is there an unselfish, or rather a selfish unwillingness to share God's mission, to share in it, to speak of it? All of us have a choice to make in the year 2020. Whether we want to take steps to increase our ability to see God more clearly. What does God want you to see more clearly of Himself? God, please give us bigger and clearer vision. Greater vision of your holiness, greater vision of your grace, greater vision of your mission for us as a church and as individuals. Greater vision for every good thing you want to give us through your grace. To your praise and glory. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Be thou my vision. We're going to sing. We're going to ask Him to be our vision. You are my vision.